It's quite the industry about fiction, whether it's films or novels on national security. So what are the challenges of writing national security fiction? Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Russell, Ontario, Canada. And you're listening to Canadian Intelligence, eh? Okay, you know, because I've told you a gazillion times that I spent more than three decades in national security. I worked in signals intelligence. I worked in human intelligence. I've written six books to date on terrorism, which is one aspect of national security. But I'm also a fan of the fiction realm when it comes to this world. So think the James Bond films, although, spoiler alert, James Bond is not really an accurate depiction of working for MI6, which is the British Secret Intelligence Service. I certainly worked alongside some MI6 people in my past, and I can't say anyone was nearly as handsome as Daniel Craig. And so it might be a little bit of a stretch of the truth there. For my American listeners, of course, there's the Jason Bourne films and the links to the CIA. Again, rather fictitious, I would say. So what's it like to actually try and write a book in national security, whether it's CIA or MI6 or any other of the alphabet soup of intelligence agencies out there? What kind of background do you have to have? To talk about this, I'm delighted to bring into the podcast a friend of mine, John Gelder. He is a writer and a researcher and an analyst, a consultant with deep knowledge of private and public sector entities responsible for public safety, security, and law enforcement in Canada, United States. And more importantly, he's the author of a very, very interesting, fascinating, I couldn't put it down, new book called The Endurant or Endurant. And he's going to talk about the process of writing this. So, John, welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks, Phil. Really a pleasure to be with you today. Appreciate it.
Now, I'm going to recommend that people buy this book, of course, but if you could give my listeners a bit of a Cole's Notes version of the book itself, John, what is the basic gist of the book?
Yeah, well, thanks, Phil. It's you kind of hinted at this in your introduction. It's a suspense thriller inspired in some ways by some of the great fiction writers of the past. You mentioned Robert Ludlum and the Bourne, Jason Bourne novels. And one of my sort of favorites, Michael Crichton.
Well, of course.
Who you may recall with bestsellers like Jurassic Park.
Absolutely,
and Prey, yeah. And Next. And the thing about Michael Crichton is he always had a technology angle to his work, which sort of appealed to me. So they were really good inspirations for my interest in writing this. The novel centers around a protagonist by the name of Alex Cage. He's a professor of behavioral science at a small college in upstate New York called Ashton College. It's fictional. And he's a former FBI profiler, so it brings in some of the sort of law enforcement and psychological aspects that interested me. And he's kind of a unique character because he has special forces training, did a stint in the military and PSYOPs with the CIA.
But he's Canadian though.
And so, good point. He's a dual citizen. He's originally from Toronto. Grew up in Toronto and went to U of T and then got a scholarship to Columbia in New York City and did his PhD in psychology there, where he was eventually recruited into the FBI as a profiler. So the background, there's some good Canadian content there. And so then he goes on to, the story continues where he has a bit of a falling out with the FBI due to a case that went sour and ended up teaching in this sort of remote town in upstate New York. So that's kind of the gist of it.
We don't want to spoil too much, John, because you don't want to give the plot away for people who are going to read the book.
Yeah, exactly. So hold a little bit back, but that's the basic idea of it.
Go ahead. I'm just curious, John, why it is, I mean, this isn't your first rodeo when it comes to writing fiction. What was it about this particular theme that led you to write the book in the first place?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been writing a long time. My professional work is as a consultant, management consultant, a lot of work with public safety and RCMP and things like that. A lot of it centered in Ottawa, but some international as well, some in the U.S. But I've always written, and a lot of it was professional reasons, but a lot of fiction writing and creative writing more for therapy, I guess you could say. It's always been an outlet for me, and probably for a lot of other people. Writing has been great therapy, as has been running. So I talk about, I'll often talk about the three R's: writing, reading, and running.
That's right. You're a runner. That's right.
Yeah, as kind of therapy. And so running, especially endurance running, plays a big part in the novel, and therefore the title, The Endurant, draws on this theme quite a bit. So that's kind of where the genesis of it came from.
Now, you and I have a slightly similar background, John, in that, you know, as I said, I worked in intelligence, you worked as a consultant. The type of writing that we do from a professional perspective, that is, the writing we do to put food on the table, is a very different type of writing than writing a fiction novel. Can you walk us through a little bit about what you need to adjust to write a fiction versus what you need to learn and be able to encapsulate when it comes to your day job?
Yeah, that's an interesting subject, because a lot of my writing professionally was, you know, related to program and policy evaluation and things like that. For fiction writing, it takes a bit of a change of mindset. Obviously, you have to tap into some of the creative aspects of your persona, I guess you could say. One of the things that surprised me, because I'd always wanted to write a full novel, I'd written a lot of short stories and some poetry, but the idea of a full novel had always eluded me. And so I guess you could thank COVID for this. With a bit of isolation, it finally kind of got me over the hump.
Wait, COVID is something positive for the world?
Well, here you go. A bit of a surprise, but the isolation factor, good or bad, I guess, gave me some time to really think about this. And like a lot of people, I think a lot of people have books in them, have great stories within them, but maybe have trouble getting them out. So finding the time to do it. And I have to say, I was always, as a writer, looking for the big idea. And a lot of authors will tell you, don't wait for the big idea, just write. Probably pretty good advice, because once I decided to sit down and just write it, I was shocked, actually really shocked, because the book started to write itself.
Really?
And I could see it playing out in my mind. So that was a very, very unusual experience, and one that taught me quite a few lessons. So yeah, a really interesting approach.
That's almost counterintuitive, because you would think that most people would be advised or have read somewhere, you know, these how-to books or these books that give you ideas on how to proceed, that you should have this, you know, the plot carefully unfolding and your characters and what they're going to do kind of thing. And you're just saying, just pick up the pen, or I guess in this case, just open up your laptop and start typing, and the story's just going to kind of tell itself naturally.
It can. I'm not sure it works for everybody, but there's the idea that, you know, the main character in my novel is a bit of an alter ego. And there's an idea that if you can tap into the alter ego, and we all have one that's deeply suppressed in many cases, but we see it coming out sometimes in performers who tap into their alter ego, people like Beyonce or athletes like Kobe Bryant and so on and so forth, able to tap into the alter ego and release some energies that may have been suppressed as far back as childhood. And one of the things about this book in terms of writing it is, as I began to write, I tapped into some parts of my psyche that had been repressed for some time, beginning with an accident that I'd suffered as a seven-year-old child, car accident, where I'd been hit by a car and spent several days in the hospital with a head injury. And so this became a kind of a pivot point for this kind of the superhero aspects of this character. And I didn't want it to be a Me Too character. It had to be something unusual, which was my stumbling block at the beginning. What would be unusual about this character's superpower? And once I decided on that, using that accident as a leverage point, it started to really come into play.
You know, John, this is really very much an interesting coincidence because I too was hit by a car when I was 7 or 8 years old. I wasn't badly injured. In fact, I went home the same day from the hospital. And of course, your character, Alex Cage, suffers an accident when he's a child. And as you say, it kind of leads to his later career and his abilities. So there's an awful lot of John Gelder in this character, it seems.
Yeah, there is. A lot of writing advice revolves around, you've heard the expression, I think it comes from Mark Twain, write what you know.
Yeah.
And so as I began to write, I started to think about what is it that I really know? So drawing from my work as a consultant in areas like public safety and law enforcement and management and business, that part was fairly intuitive. But then there are aspects, of your psyche that perhaps most of us haven't really thought about. George R. Martin, you know, Game of Thrones author talks about how difficult it was when he first heard that expression about write what you know. He couldn't quite understand it, because he said he didn't know a lot when he first started writing. I certainly didn't know about you know, fantasy and fiction and so on. But then he said once he'd been rejected by a few of the women that he was pursuing and so on, he began to understand that what you know is also very emotional, right? It can occur in very different levels. And if you can make that connection, it becomes really important to your writing. And so we all know what he achieved after that. So
absolutely. Chercher la femme, as they say. John, given your background, what do you think the challenges are in trying to write a fiction on law enforcement / national security, obviously in a dramatic setting? You mean you want it to be as, I guess, realistic as possible as it is to the real world of national security. And yet, obviously, it has to sell. It has to tell a story. It has to keep its reader interested, if not riveted. How hard was that in this particular instance, with this particular novel, The Endurant, in conveying that picture?
Yeah, I think most people who write fiction, good fiction, they understand that a story follows an arc. You know, there's a beginning, there's a protagonist, there's usually an antagonist. It builds to some kind of crescendo, and then there's a resolution at the end. So there's usually a story arc that's somewhat of a formulaic. But I think in terms of law enforcement or spy novels, that genre, getting some of the details right is important. I mean, people like Ian Fleming or John le Carré, people who worked in the field have some of that. They know it well. There are different angles that come at it. I came at it, I bring in some business aspects, some management aspects, the realism of what is a board meeting, what happens in a board meeting, executive board meeting, and how do people communicate in that environment. AI technology is another. Spent a number of years as an advisor in a technology council. So having some understanding of technology and how it plays out in a business setting. In this case, there's some AI elements to it. And then psychology and philosophy are other aspects, other themes that work their way into the novel. And I think what one of the challenges, what would be unique about this character, again, without giving away too much, the idea of it, central idea is the idea of what happens when a good psychopath runs up against an evil or bad psychopath. So the main character, as a result of his accident, had lost a certain ability to have emotional feelings.
Right.
But he ends up confronting a real psychopath. And so when these two characters clash, what is the result of that? And that kind of intrigued me. You know, you think of shows like Dexter and so on, the good mm-hmm. psychopath idea. But that idea intrigued me. And so I worked with that quite a bit. And then the other aspect was the running aspect. He's an endurance runner. That's how he releases his tension. And of course, in my background, I'm a 5-time Boston marathoner. So I work Boston into it pretty well, as you know.
John, the other aspect of the novel I found quite interesting is the introduction of an artificial intelligence character. And again, I won't spoil the plot for people, but you confess to me that you're not an AI expert. I certainly can barely spell AI. You give me the first two letters, I do really, really well. How hard was that, given it's an area that you don't consider yourself to have a lot of knowledge in, to get it right by introducing this character?
Yeah, so this is sort of working at the level of the big idea as opposed to the real granular aspects of AI. I mean, it's very topical now with ChatGPT and it has been for a while with Deep Blue and then DeepGo and what robots. I think there was something just last Friday in Geneva, a convention of humanoid, you know, robots who are being interviewed by the press. You know, so it's very, very, very topical subject. But the whole area of it, you know, it's traditionally been based on algorithms and how well you can create the algorithms. There's another area of research that's been going on for some time called artificial neural networks, ANNs. And the idea is that if you can get an intelligent machine to kind of mimic the processes and approaches and mechanisms of the human mind, a human brain, then that's an alternate approach to creating intelligent machines. And then there's another aspect to this idea. It was written about quite a while ago in a book called The Brain That Changes Itself, Norman Doidge, that talks about neuroplasticity and how the brain can adapt. So, you know, working in these ideas of neuroplasticity, what happens after a brain injury, and how a unique brain might be able to simulate or replicate a neural network in a machine is a whole different aspect. It gets into a little bit of the paranormal, but beyond anything that's being done mechanically or electronically by current AI processes and methodologies. So it's very unique. There is research going on in the area, and that's a big aspect of this character and why he has the future of mankind in his grasp. He doesn't know it. The main character doesn't know it, but he's holding the future of mankind in his grasp, and this is the reason why.
Wow, that's a pretty important responsibility, holding the future of mankind in his grasp. So can I ask, John, is there a sequel coming to this where you explore these things further, or is this I shouldn't be betraying your future plans?
Yeah, I didn't write it with the idea of a sequel, but there's so much going on in this area, this field right now of AI, that I've been tempted to do it. You know, it's the old thing about sequels, they often don't live up to the originals. You
yes.
think of well. Things like The Matrix, which was a gem of a movie, and then the subsequent ones maybe less so. But so I'm a bit leery about it, but at the same time, I've had from people like yourself so much encouraging feedback that I'm tempted to give it a shot. So I have a few ideas that I'm working with. And as you know, this whole field, there's such a debate going on right now about the risk of AI.
Yes.
And they're real risks. Many people, experts have written about the risks that there are risks to to humankind. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And if this gets out of control, we could see some very serious consequences. So I'm tempted by that.
Watch this space, as they say. Where can people get a copy of the book, John?
Yeah, so Amazon, it's available at Amazon in both Kindle and paperback formats. I haven't really tried to move it into the bookstores physically yet, although there is a bookstore near me called Books on Beechwood that is stocking it.
Right.
So there's a couple of options there if people are interested in picking up a copy.
Well, I'll definitely put links to the Amazon in the podcast notes, John. And listen, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today and walking us through a bit about what it's like to write fiction in the national security realm. And I wish you all the best with not just this book, but future endeavors on your part.
Well, thanks so much, Phil. I really appreciate you having me on. And I know I wish you all the best in your writing as well. You've written some great books yourself, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. So that's John Gelder, somebody that I met actually through the Ottawa Independent Writers Club, which we are both members. Do you have a fiction in you that might rival James Bond and Jason Bourne? If you're curious, you can let me know. Love to hear your feedback. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com, or on Twitter @BorealisSaves. I'm also located on LinkedIn and on Facebook. If you like the content and want to get more of it, please go to the website, borealisthreatenrisk.com. There's a subscribe button there. You can give me your details. It's free of charge, all the content. Love to hear your feedback, perhaps some ideas for future podcasts. We'll talk again soon. Until then, take care.